I've entitled my message this morning as "Don't carry your burdens, throw them out." Now you may wonder, where do I throw it? You know, I don't want to carry my burdens anyway, but you're asking me to throw them out. Where do I throw it? I'm looking for a place. Now, if you notice, the world that we live in is filled with different anxieties. And people today are very well known for coming up with different names for these anxieties. Let me share with you some of these names that people have coined. They have these names as generalized anxiety disorder, GAD, obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, panic disorder or post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. You have all these acronyms, you know, and if you go to a doctor and say, you know, I'm having a lot of these worries, they may diagnose your worry and say, hey, this is what you have. But the Bible doesn't have any of these names. The Bible calls all anxiety as sin. Now for some, maybe this morning, that may be a shock, you know, to say, oh, anxiety is a sin. But over a period of time, even in the church, we have taken it for granted that we must be anxious. There's nothing wrong with anxiety, and all of us are anxious. And we have classified that, if you were to say, as what we call as respectable sin. Okay? The Bible says don't be anxious, so that's a sin. But it's a respectable sin. It's not as bad as killing somebody, maybe. So we pat ourselves on the back and go ahead with life. But when you look into the future, especially a new year has come in, 15 days are nearly gone or already gone, and you look into the future, do you have anxieties about the future? What this year would hold for you? Different thoughts come into your mind. And people who have conducted surveys have come up with a shocking discovery, you know, that, you know, we actually spend 5.2 years of our life captured by worry. How did they come up with this calculation? They asked people how much time they spend worrying, and this is what they found. They found that every week we spend 14 hours worrying. So 2 hours of every day you are worrying. Okay, maybe that worry is at the night when you are not getting sleep because so many things are tossing and turning in your mind. Or maybe during the day itself you are worrying. But 2 hours of a day goes by in worrying. This is how you come up with a calculation over a period of time. You know, if you are calculating your lifespan for a day of your lifespan, you are spending 5.2 years of your life just wasted worrying. Now those of us who are older, we may say, hey, I don't want to spend the rest of my life, which is short, in 5 years going just wasted. Maybe those of you who are young, you may say, oh, I'm many years, so 5 years is okay if I worry. No, you know, let's make sure the scripture teaches us, the passage that was read to us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, which says, casting all your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. Now this morning we are going to study this passage in its context, study this passage in the meaning of those words, because some translation says cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. So you have, wait, both are care. No, that's why some translations, looking at the root meaning, have put it in as cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Because it's a different word in Greek for those two different care, okay? But more important, when you're studying a passage of scripture, we must always look at the context of that particular passage. It's easy to pull this verse out and say, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And sometimes we have this verse even framed in our rooms to say, hey, it's a good verse. But if you notice, that's not a separate verse in itself, isn't it? That verse comes after a comma of verse 6. And this verse actually says, casting all your care. It doesn't just say cast all your care. In other words, there's a correlation between verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 7. That's why this morning, this whole passage was read to us. So what's the context? What's the common factor between verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7? Verse 5 says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to your elders. It's speaking out, be humble before your elders. Elders, not position of an elder. Elders, anyone who is senior, anyone who is in a position of leadership, be humble before that individual. Because after all, God is the one who has put them in responsibility. Or after all, they are elder to you. They have much more experience and knowledge. Learn to be humble before them. Then it says, be humble toward one another. Not just between elders and junior, but to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then in verse 6, he says, humble yourself therefore under what now? Under the mighty hand of God. So humility between younger and elder, humility between one another, and this all stems from our humility before God. And then he says, if you have this humility, then you'll be casting all your cares and worries and anxieties upon the Lord himself. So that's the context of this particular verse. Three aspects of humility and linking between anxiety and humility. There's a link between the two. In other words, people who are humble should not be anxious. Why? Because they have submitted themselves to God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. This phrase, the hand of God, in the scriptures is always speaking about the power of God. So if you have humbled yourselves under his power, then you don't have to be anxious or worried. On the other hand, then, those who are anxious and worried, what does that show? What's the opposite of humility? They are proud. Okay? So, if we say you are anxious, what does that mean? You are a proud person. No, I'm not proud. I'm a very humble person. No. That's what the verse is teaching us. Because when you are humble before God, you are accepting his control over your life for the future. His hand is powerful. He is in control over your life. But if you are not humble, you are proud, you are anxious, what are you really saying is, no, I want to be in charge of the future. I think I can do a better job. I think I can control my future. That's why we worry about the future, isn't it? If you don't have control over the future, no worries, isn't it? Now, little children, when they, you know, when they are very small, do they have worry about, you know, what's the meal going to come up on the table today? No worries. They come to the table, they expect their meal. Do they expect, you know, do they worry about where will I get clothes to put on? No. Sunday morning time, clothes are there. Food is there. Place to stay is there. Why? Because they don't have any worries, because they know I'm not in charge, but it is my parents who are in charge. So similarly, when we are thinking about our future, if we have humbled ourselves under the authority of God, God, you are in charge, you are in control, I have no say about my future, then we say, Lord, no worries about the future at all. Now remember, Peter's writing this epistle to a group of Christians who are going through intense persecution. Maybe in our own context, in our country or in the world today, when the church is going through different persecutions, oftentimes we have options before us, isn't it? What is the option? Oh, I have to do something. I'm in charge. If they are doing this, then I have to do something back in return. That's an attitude of humility or being proud. I'm in charge. If I don't do this, nothing is going to happen. But on the other hand, Peter's writing this to those individuals who are going through persecution and saying, hey, God is in charge. So don't worry about the future. Don't worry about what is going to happen. In fact, Jesus himself said, isn't it okay if you're being caught up by the cops and say, oh, you know, you are put in jail. You don't know what to say, don't worry, you know. God's Holy Spirit will give you the right words. Don't be worried about your life. Even if somebody has to be killed for their faith, why worry? Because absent from the body, present with the Lord. In other words, when you know that God is in control over your future, you don't spend time hanging with anxiety. You don't spend time in worrying. So, if you notice, all of us, each and every day, we are tempted to either be proud and worry, or to control that worry within us and say, Lord, I have no control over my future. You're the one who is in charge, so I hand it over to you. So if we are willing to let go of our control and say, God, you're the one who is totally in control. Let go and let God is a phrase that was very famous in yesteryears. If you are willing to do that, then you will find 2024, looking into the future, no worries. You can get up in the morning with a smile on your face, with a, what shall I say, leaping out of bed and saying, oh, welcome this day. Going to have problems this day? Yes, but God is in charge. So what are you worrying about today? When the topic came up about anxiety and worry, what are the thoughts that flitted through your minds? Are you worrying about your finances? Are you worrying about your job? Are you worrying whether there'll be enough money for you to pay all your bills? Are you worrying about your family? Maybe if you're a young person, are you worrying whether you will ever get married and have children? Or if you are married and you have children, are you worrying about your children, about whether they are going to remain in the faith? Or are you worrying about your health, wondering how long you will live? Or as you see older people going through their struggles with different ailments, are you wondering whether those ailments you would face? Are you wondering whether you will be left alone? Or are you wondering, maybe you hear about accidents that are taking place, whether you will meet with an accident and will be paralyzed for life? People have all sorts of crazy worries, isn't it? Vance Havner, a well-known preacher of yesteryears, said, worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Worry is like a rocking chair. It will definitely give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Now, the definition of worry, the dictionary definition, by the way, is to give way to anxiety or unease, or to allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. That's the meaning of worry. To allow your mind to dwell on difficulties or troubles. What's going on in your mind all the time? That's what the worry is all about. The word, by the way, comes from an old English word. I'll tell you the spelling of that old English word, because normally if you look at old English words, you know, they don't spell as how we spell today. This old English word spelling is W-Y-R-G-A-N. So worry comes from this old English word. You may say worrying, you know, that's how maybe they came up with worry. But this word actually means to strangle or to seize by the throat. That's the word meaning for worry. To strangle or to seize by the throat. Now that's what it is, isn't it? You know, the pressure of putting a squeezing of your throat, you're gasping for life. That's what worrying is all about. Now worrying displaces God in your life. That is why it's a sin. Instead of saying, God, you are in charge, you are really saying, Lord, I am in charge. That is sin. That is why worry is a sin, because it displaces God's authority over your life and you're putting yourself on that authority. Now, you may say, no, you know, there are definite legitimate concerns of life, isn't it? I don't worry about it. I just have a concern about it. We are very good in playing around with words, you know, just to say it's not a sin. But think for a moment, you know, you're probably well into worry if when the thing you're concerned about, remember what you're concerned about, is the first thing you think about in the morning and the last thing that you think about at night. You say that's a concern. No, if that's the first thing and the last thing of the day, that has ceased to be a concern. It is actually now moving into a worry. Or when you find yourself thinking upon it every spare moment during the day also. And even in a conversation, you're constantly bringing it up. Oh, I'm going through this. I wonder what will happen. If you're doing all that, which you think is actually a concern, be careful. It has actually become a worry. It is strangling you. You are losing out of the joy of trusting God for your future and living a relaxed life here on earth. This verse in other translations reads like this. The J.B. Phillips translation of this verse says, you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon Him, for you are His personal concern. Think of that. You can throw all the weight of your anxieties upon the Lord because you are His personal concern. And the voice translation says, since God cares for you, let Him carry all your burdens and worries. Since He cares for you, He says, He invites you, you know, and says, come unto me, all ye who are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will take the Lord. Why don't you give it to Him? Why don't you give it to Him rather than taking it upon yourself? So what can we do with our worries? When we started off by saying throw them off, what do we do? Where do we throw it off? Let's look at that verse this morning. First of all, we need to do something on our own, a definite action we need to do. There's something that we have to do. Yes, Jesus died on the cross. He has taken all our anxieties upon Him. He's saying, you throw your weight on me. But unless we throw it upon Him, we are still carrying that load ourselves. That's why that word is used, casting all your cares upon Him. Casting all your cares upon Him. The word casting is in the active voice, signifying that we must make a conscious, volitional choice of our will to cast our burdens on the Lord. It's not the natural outcome that comes in. It is something that we have to do volitionally. Times when you think, oh, that concern is coming to my mind again. That worry is gnawing my mind again. It is choking me. Concrete step you need to take, a deliberate action that you need to do. This word casting upon is also in the aorist tense, which basically means that it is an act once for all. The Greek verbs aorist is an action once and for all, you throw it and you say it is gone forever. Now that's what it means. It's not just the everyday events of your life that you are worried about, but your entire life. He says, lay it all on the altar and say, Lord, it's your problem, not mine anymore. That's what the word casting means. And it says, cast all your cares upon Him. Not just bits and pieces, but cast it all on Him. It's like John Bunyan in the Pilgrim's Progress, when he comes to the foot of that place and the burdens just roll off. He doesn't say, okay, I've given you 80% of my burden. No, the burdens just roll off. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. God says, you don't have to carry your burdens anymore. Why are you carrying it? Give it to me. Cast it off. And the word cast means to throw off with a vigor, with a lot of force, if you were to say. And it's the picture, maybe at the end of a hard day when you come back home, what do? You carried a heavy backpack, you know. Your boots are heavy. What do? You know, throw them off. Take off, you know. Maybe something that is heavy on you. Maybe you had a cap, maybe you had a backpack, you had your bottle, or whatever. Everything that was on you all the time. You just want to be free when you have come home. That is the word picture that is used here. You know, cast it off, throw it off, throw it off. Okay. You know. Now, I mentioned to you about this old English word, which meant to, strangle. Later on, during the Middle Ages, this word became worry-in, W-O-R-I-E-N. It started off with W-Y-R-G-A-N, then as time progressed on, it became W-O-R-I-E-N, okay? And it basically meant to grasp by the throat with the teeth and lacerate. Not just the throttling, but it is like biting, injuring, shaking, the way a wolf or a dog might attack sheep, for example. And this word in the 16th century changed to worry, which began to be used to harass as by rough treatment or attack, or to assault verbally. Then in the 17th century, this word took on the sense to bother, to distress, or to persecute. So it started off with that, and then as it went, progressed further. And the word that is used in Greek for anxiety, which is merima, which basically means to divide or to draw different directions, or to be pulled apart. That's the word for anxiety in Greek, okay? To be pulled apart. Here on one side, God is saying, trust in me. On the other hand, another voice is saying, hey, you are in charge. You have to do something about it. So you're being pulled apart. That is what anxiety is all about. And F.B. Meyer, Bible commentator, says that the word anxiety comes from the same root as anger and suggests the idea of choking. Worry chokes the life of faith. Chokes the life of faith. That is why God says, hey, don't allow things to be choking you. This morning as you have started the new year, do you feel free? How do you feel looking into the future? A sense of being choked, like when we speak about going out into the city, the air is bad, pollutions are there, what happens then? You feel choked, you're not free. When you go to a countryside, the air is good to breathe, you say, oh, that's free. I didn't know that there was such a nice, clean air. That's the understanding. There are things in our lives that are choking us. We don't live free. Somehow we go through life. The excitement of living is not there. We are always saying, oh Lord, yet another morning. I have to somehow go through this life. No, you don't have to somehow go through this life. You don't have to just go through this life. You have to thrive in this life. Because Jesus said, I have come to give you life. Ordinary life. Life in abundance. So if you and I have this abundant life living in us, why should we be carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders? Allow Him to carry it. Throw off your weight. That is what casting is all about. It's a deliberate action that you need to do. Secondly, it's a deliberate release. It's a releasing of something that is holding us down. If you notice the writer to the Hebrews, when he's speaking about running the race, he says, let us lay aside everything that holds us down. Everything that is slowing us down in our Christian walk. Everything that is slowing us down in our trust of God that He is able to look after our future. Can God be trusted for our future? But if we're holding on to our lives like that and worrying, what are we really saying? God, I really don't think that you're going to do a good job. Sometimes we are afraid that if we let go, what will God do? You say, yeah, you are let go now. Now let me see how much you are going to withstand of all the pressures that I'm going to put you into. Sometimes we have such a horrid understanding of God that when we release ourselves into His hands, He is just waiting to put us into more trouble. Not at all. Not at all. Jesus is saying, isn't it? Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. What is that understanding of the yoke upon you? You have the elder oxen and the junior oxen. He says, you're the junior guy. I'm the senior one. So if you walk along under the same yoke, who takes the major burden? The senior one, the older oxen takes. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm not asking you to put the yoke upon yourself and see somehow, you will survive, then I will see you on the other side. No, he says, I'm willing to walk alongside of you. I will take the major load off you. You don't have to take that load. Come unto me. And when Jesus says that, we need to be willing to deliberately give that release. Now you have a sheet of paper this morning with you. Spend a few moments. If you want to write it down, if you want to think in your minds, or if you want to go back home and put it on a slip of paper, think of the thoughts that are worrying you. Okay? Think of the thoughts that are worrying. And as you write it down, write it down. There are two ways that you can deal with a release. Either you can write it as soon as the thoughts come into your mind, keep a box before you, and write that worry and put it into that box and say, it's not my problem anymore, that box belongs to God. It's a physical release that you are doing. Or you can write on all your worries and then tear it all up and say, it's no longer mine, it is the Lord's. Whichever method, physically, to help you to understand this simple principle that God is not asking you to be anxious about the future. God is not asking you to be anxious about 2024. People have so much thoughts about this year, isn't it? Oh, economy will be bad. Politically, things will change. This will change. That will change. More problems are going to come in. And the more you hear all that, you can become very anxious. But if you can say, hey, God is still seated on the throne. He has not abdicated the throne in 2024. He's still in charge. He's still in control. He knows how to handle it. And as a result, I'm going to trust him for it. So let me encourage you, either you can do that exercise right now itself with some things are coming up into your mind and you don't want to tear that page up because it's the outline. Cancel it off and say, Lord, this morning I release these worries that are choking me into your hand. And saying, Lord, I trust you to look after my future. Thirdly, there's a divine destination. Where do you throw it? Cast all your cares on him. Throw it off on his shoulders, because his shoulders is strong. He who is before all things, he who is above all things, he who created all things, he who is our Savior, he who knows and loves us, he who came for us, he who died for us, he who rose again for us, he who intercedes for us, he who will one day come again for us. He says, he will personally carry all our worries. So throw it on him. Either the Lord carries the worry or we do. That's the two options. If we do, what will happen? We'll be divided, distracted, disturbed, confused, frustrated, and burdened. If he carries the load, we may still have trouble and difficulties, but no consuming anxiety. It doesn't mean that 2024 will be no worries, no troubles whatsoever. Troubles will be there, but no worries will be there because you are trusting him. No dominating fear, no undue concern, and no hopeless despair. So why cling on to your problems when you can trust God when he says, let me carry it for you. Let me carry it for you. Fourthly, we have a delightful reason, because the scripture says over there, he cares for you. Four simple words. He cares for you. The word that is used here in Greek for cares is the word melo, which means basically to show watchful care and affection. To show watchful care and affection. And it is in the present tense which indicates that God cares for us continually. So much so that we can say that God is our caretaker. That's the watchful care of God. God says, hey, don't take your anxieties upon yourselves, because my watchful care is upon you. That is why you give it to me. You know? Now the word translated cares or worries or anxieties in the first half, as we mentioned, is a different word from this word. This word basically is saying God is fixing our thoughts upon us. As one writer said, much thought is given to you. It means that He has you on His heart. He is always thinking about you. How does that make you feel when you think about the future? God is always thinking about you. He has never forgets you. And that's why He says, because He cares for you, be willing to throw it all at Him. God is mindful of us. He is thoughtful of us. That is why He proved His thoughtfulness by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us, isn't it? So when you come before Him and says, Lord, these are my worries, He doesn't have to keep on knocking so that He says, okay, I've opened the door, you can give me your worries. He's just standing, He's just waiting. He's just keen on taking it all off our shoulders, because He cares for us. He cares for us. You may have questions about tomorrow. You may have questions about your health, whether you'll have a heart attack or a sudden stroke. You may have questions whether you'll end up in a nursing home, you know, or just waste away in a hospital. You may have questions about your children, whether they serve the Lord or abandon their faith, you know. You may have questions about all these things. But remember, God says, I will never leave you. Situations may be very bad this year, but God says, don't worry, I am in charge. I am thoughtful of you. I am looking after you. I am caring for you. So three simple truths this morning from this passage. Number one, amid all your anxiety, God calls you to humble yourself before Him. That's the first step of saying, Lord, I can't handle this. Proud person says, I can handle it. I will do this for my future. A humble person says, Lord, I can't handle it. 2024 you have given to me, I thank you for this year, but I can't handle this year, Lord. Humility says, Lord, I come to you with this new year that you have given to me. I lay it at your feet. Whatever may happen, Lord, this year, I want to put my trust in you and not depend upon myself. Secondly, the way to humble yourself amid your anxiety is to cast it on God. Is to cast it on God. This morning, would you be willing to just throw it all off? Write it down, rip it off, cancel it, whatever. Things that have been worrying you for maybe ages, or maybe things that you are worried about this year, maybe things that are on your mind even this morning. God says, throw it all off, because He cares for us. The third important truth is that God invites you to humble yourself and cast your anxiety upon Him because of who He is and what He promises. Who He is and what He promises. He says, I care for you. You are always on my mind. If we are always on His mind, why should we be hesitant to come before Him? Three practical, encouraging truths. Number one, don't worry about tomorrow, because God is already there. Yes, He's already there. So He is the God who goes before His people. If He's already gone before, He knows what's going to happen. He looks after it. He has prepared whatever situation is going to be there. And He says, I promise to be with you. So why worry? Because He's already gone before. Secondly, God promises to be with you no matter what happens to you tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and all the days after that. No matter what 2024 will hold, He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be there with you. So don't worry. don't be anxious. Thirdly, you can live without fear because God has you on His heart at this very moment. He will not forget you. Indeed, He cannot forget you. He cannot forget you. He says, I have written you on the palm of His hands, isn't it? He knows us by name. We are the apple of His eye. This is what the scripture teaches us. So why worry about the future? We can live without that suffocating worry that strangles our faith and drains our joy. Because for all the fears that we have about the future, God says simply, I am with you, fear not. I am with you, fear not. As Christians, as believers, we of all people should be the most optimistic about tomorrow, isn't it? We have a great future because we have a great God. And the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. So let's look forward this year for all that God has in store for us. Let's not be worried because God is in charge. Let me close with this illustration of George Mueller, who built many orphanages in England. Without a personal salary, he relied only on God to supply the money and the food needed to support the hundreds of homeless children he befriended in the name of Christ. He was a man of radiant faith, and he kept a motto on his desk for many years that brought him much comfort, strength, and uplifting confidence to his heart. And this was the motto or the plaque that he had on his desk. It read, it matters to Him about you. It matters to Him about you. Mueller believed that those words captured the meaning of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. And he rested his claim for divine help on that truth. And he testified at the end of his life that the Lord had never failed to supply all his needs. If you want visible reminders, make a plaque, write it down. Put it as your screensaver, whatever, you know. 1 Peter 5:7. It matters to Him about you. Anytime you are worried, it matters to Him about you. Cast all your cares, all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Let's bow our heads in prayer together.